So it was the year 2000. We had just survived Y2K. Some of you may not remember Y2K, but we had miraculously survived Y2K. The greatest danger I thought I was in, I was paraphrasing the book of Matthew for one of my classes, and I was about 80 pages deep into that paraphrase of the Gospel of Matthew. And so I saved it like on five different desks and on several different things just in case Y2K ate my paraphrase. I had worked on that thing for 6 weeks, I was not going to relinquish that to Y2K. I was starting my last semester of college in January of 2000. I was going to be graduating in May of that year and looking for where God would want us to be and what God would want us to do. And through a series of events, I think Renee was baptized in 2000. Yeah, because at the church where I was doing my internship, Renee was being baptized, and family from this area, Jeff's family and Renee's family, came to visit, and I met them, that family, some of the guys at Coppertown Church. I met them. And we talked there a little bit, and they were interested in wondering if I would be interested in pastoring and this small country church. And my answer was, no, thank you. I have a bachelor's degree in Bible and a minor in youth ministry. I don't have any pastoral training. I don't have any pastoral college degree. I didn't walk alongside the pastor track in college. No, thank you. In June, this very Sunday, the first Sunday in June of 2000, 22 years ago, just that week ahead or a week or two ahead, I got a call from one of the guys at the Clappertown Church and said, hey, our pastor that is helping out here, he's going to be in the hospital. Would you like to fill the pulpit? I said, no, not really. But we agreed that I would come, and Cheryl agreed before I did, but we had agreed that I would come. And for the very first time in my life, I preached a message 22 years ago this day. Just so you know, there's been 1,124 Sundays since that Sunday, counting leap year Sundays. I've preached about 1,000 of those. About 1,000 of those 1,124 I've been able to preach since that day. But that day, I was out of my norm. I was out of any experience. I was out. I didn't even know what to do. So I began to work on a message that I had no idea how to work on. And I finished that message that day with this statement. I said to Cheryl, I'm never doing this again in my life. And Cheryl said, I think you're going to. I definitely married smarter. But I ended that message that day in that church in Clappertown. That gathering of people that became so faithful to me and so faithful to God. I was 4 years old in the Lord. And fresh out of college. And they said, yes. Now, I survived that day, and I came back in August, and then we moved there in September. But I ended that message on this day, 22 years ago, with this statement. He is able if you are willing. And so today, about 1,001 or two sermons under my belt. I still hardly can eat breakfast before I preach. I want to start today's message with, He is able if you are willing. He is able if you are willing. I have found that to be true over the last 22 years, that there's no ability problem with God. Am I willing to walk it out with God? Am I willing to go where he goes? So today, he is able if you are willing. So let me ask you this question today. What is the greatest thing that God, greatest action that God has been taken by God? What's the greatest action ever taken by God? And maybe we could sit here and we could make a list of multiple things that we could come up with, creation and the Red Sea situation and all those things. And I think we would be right, but I definitely think it was the top 10 things of the greatest things that God ever did in action in this world, in our creation, in our lives. These five things have to be in the top 10. And they are this: the birth of Jesus Christ. That he agreed to have his son leave the heavenly realms. No more angel of the Lord has been so active in the Old Testament, leaving the heavenly realms and coming to earth, born of a virgin, to make a difference in humanity. That's power. That's grace. That he would take that action to allow not only to send his son into this world, born of a woman. And I think it would definitely have to include the crucifixion. When Jesus says, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, where have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me?" When God, for a split moment, turned away from Jesus so Jesus could bear all the sins of the world, past, present, and future, all of them, and deposit those into the gates of hell and back out, and God looked away from that sin so that you and I would never have to experience that. And he let his son do it. That's power. That's a great action. The resurrection of Jesus. Can you imagine that the enemy, if he could stop anything, he'd want to stop the resurrection of Jesus? And Ephesians says this: the power that is in you is like that power when he raised Jesus from the dead. When God shoved his hand through every bit of spiritual resistance and every bit of spiritual warfare and grabbed his son and stood him up inside that tomb. That's power. That's a great action taken by God. How about the ascension of Jesus, when Jesus was, the gates of heaven opened back up so Jesus could return and sit at the right hand of the Father, still mediating for you and me, still interceding for you and me. Can you imagine the spiritual warfare that was around that all the time? Now, the hoping that Jesus would never be able to return to the Father with his payment of sin that he just accomplished on the cross, and he wanted to take it to the Father so that the Father could be, his justice could be satisfied. The enemy would want to stop that. And maybe you don't think much about it, but Pentecost is another one of those. Pentecost is another one of those great demonstrations of God's power or his action that he was taking in benefit of humanity. Pentecost simply means 50 days or the 50th day. That's Pentecost. It's just the 50th day. In Deuteronomy 16, we see details of three different feasts. We see the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. We see the Feast of the Weeks. And we see the Feast of the Tabernacles. And it starts to talk about those different feasts that God has set forth. These are three of the seven that God has set forth in the Old Testament. And the Feast of the Unleavened Bread was the remembering the Passover. And the Feast of the Weeks was 50 days after Passover, remembering the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Pentecost. And then the Feast of the Tabernacles was this, remembering the 40 years that they had wandered in the wilderness, being prepared for the promised land. Well, today is Pentecost. It's been 50 days since Easter. Today is Pentecost. So Acts 2 talks about Pentecost. Acts 2 says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. He's talking about the disciples there. When the day of Pentecost came, Pentecost is going to be memorable. There have been, the guys figured up on Thursday night, there's been about 1,440 Pentecost up to this point. Feast of Weeks. There have been like 1,440 Feast of Weeks since this moment. Here's the 1,441st one. And it's going to make a radical difference. God is going to demonstrate power. He's going to take action equal to the crucifixion, equal to the birth, equal to the resurrection, equal to the ascension of Jesus. God is going to take an action. He chose the 1,441st Pentecost Feast of Weeks to take this great action for humanity. And they were all together. The disciples were all together in one place. And it was Pentecost. And up to this moment, it was normal Pentecost. And it's about to not be a normal Pentecost. As one of the guys said Thursday nights a few weeks ago, he said, seems like it's a normal day until it isn't. Well, it's a normal day and it's about ready to be isn't. Because God's going to demonstrate this great action at Pentecost. Suddenly, verse 2 says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. All of a sudden, these guys are there. There's this giant wind. It's not a gentle breeze that slowly opened up the window. It's not just this gust of wind. It's mighty, violent, and rushing wind. It is the wind, it is the breath, it is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, the breath of God is filling that room. The breath of God's going to do something major. God has taken another huge action in humanity. And He chooses this Pentecost moment to open up the heavens and say to the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, go! I release you into the church. Go, Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that moment? And the angels began to rejoice. I know there's no Bible verse that says that, but can you imagine angels just began to worship and the Holy Spirit left the heavenly realm and was being poured into the church? Woo! It wasn't your everyday Pentecost. And I got to wonder if this is going to be just an everyday Sunday. Or is it going to be Pentecost Sunday? Because the breath was coming. The breath had entered the room. The breath had blown open the window. I don't know how it got in there, but the breath entered the room. The Spirit entered the room. And we just sang about it. So I prophesied as I was commanded, as He commanded me. And breath entered them, the same thing. And breath entered them, and they came to life. The breath was coming. The breath was coming on the 12. The breath was going to make a difference. God was taking a mighty action. It's going to rock our world. Woo. And the breath was going to fill the room. I've entitled today's message, Pentecost Possibilities. Pentecost possibility for this day in this room. The breath fills this room. I'm not talking we open the windows. I'm not talking I turn up the air. I'm not talking I crank up more CFMs on the fan. I'm talking about the breath. It's the same breath that Ezekiel said, breath, come! And it breathed into the slain. And he stood up a vast army. That's the breath I'm talking about. It came on Pentecost. The Spirit settled on the disciples. It filled the room. The breath fills this room. The possibility for today is that the breath fills the room. Lord, breathe on us. Come, oh breath, and breathe into us. Breathe on the men in this room. Breathe on the women in this room. Breathe on our kids and our teenagers in this room. Breathe on the marriages in this room, God. Breathe on the families in this room. God, we are empty. We need the breath, God. Woo. Is it okay if He breathes on you? Is He okay? Is it okay
If the Spirit leaves the heavenly realm and fills this room, just so you know, this room is filled with air. We're not talking about air. We're talking about the breath. You can breathe because it has air. You can live if it has the breath. Pentecost possibility. The breath fills this room. He did it before, and he can do it again. I wonder how long we would wait for the breath to fill the room. If you're like me, microwave. Bup, 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 bup. 38 seconds? Come on. But I believe that God wants to fill our room. How long? And I was challenged with this week. And God asked me, how long would you wait in expectation that the breath is going to fill the room? Verse 3 says this, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Oh yeah, it's just your normal everyday Pentecost. I read that stuff in the Bible and say, yeah, that's cool. How about here? How about boom? Tongues of fire coming and sitting on each one of us. And Matthew says this, Jesus says this in Matthew, I baptize, or John does, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's here! It's happening! Acts 2! Year 30 AD, 35 AD, something like that. Boom, it's here. What if he does that? What if he comes upon us and baptizes us with the Holy Spirit? What if he baptizes you with power? What if he baptizes you with a cleansing as the fire? Well, here's a possibility for today. Here's another possibility for a Pentecost possibility. You are baptized with the Holy Spirit power and with the fire kingdom cleansing. And he's going to do it right now. He is able, if you are willing. Is it okay? The tongues of fire separate, and each one of us individually in power and cleansing comes upon us. Verse 4 says this, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. At Pentecost, do you think that ever happened before? I don't think so. You think tongues, fire thing? That didn't happen before. Breath filling the room, that never happened before. What if he does that today? What if he wants to do that in you? What if he's ready to breathe on you right now? What if he wants to do that? Are you okay with that? I heard a guy say one time when he asked that, he said, no, I'm good the way I am. And I have a feeling that a lot of us say that in our own special way. But he says, I want to touch you and I want to give you something. Here's a possibility for Pentecost possibility. Push the button, please. Here it is. Pentecost possibility, the Holy Spirit does a whole new thing in your life. Or do you have a list of things that he can't do? You may want to work on that before this moment. God, you can come and you can, but don't cleanse this area of my life. I kind of want that. And God, don't give me power there. And don't do this new thing in my life. It's going to make me sound weird and make me feel weird. I'm not sure if I'm ready for that. He said, you're going to have to trust me. Because I'm ready to do something new. God the Father says, I did not send my son. I did not let him be crucified. I did not let him die. I did not resurrect him from the dead. I did not ascend him into heaven. I did not cause Pentecost and the Holy Spirit to be poured out. So you can remain the same. Of course I'm going to transform you. Of course I'm going to do something new in your life. Ooh. The Holy Spirit does a whole new thing. The Holy Spirit gives you an ability that you did not have when you stepped into the room just about 45, 50 minutes ago. You're leaving here with a different ability. Is it okay? Whatever you got planned for this afternoon, it might just get changed because God's going to give you a new ability. He's going to give you a new something, and you're going to walk out of here with a new something, and whatever you had planned is going out the window because God's got a new plan. Look what he says in verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under the heaven. Why? Because it's the Feast of Weeks. Because it's Pentecost. Because they've come there to celebrate Pentecost. They've come there to celebrate the Feast of Weeks. So there are people all over the place. Jerusalem is teeming with people. Look at what it says. When they heard this sound, and I really went to work on that, what sound? And God said, all of it! That's what they heard. They heard the wind. They heard the tongues of fire settling on people. They heard the cracking of the lightning coming from heaven. They heard the men speaking in tongues. They heard it all. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one was speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not these men who are speaking... Not all these men who are speaking Galileans, they don't speak our language. These dudes are all from Galilee. And we're hearing something happen in our languages. What in the world is going on? Then how is each one of us hearing in our own native language? The Parthians and the Medes and the Amalekites and the residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear, look what they say, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. You know what they were saying? I don't know, but it was about the wonders of God. Whatever the whole new thing that God wants to do is so that you can display the wonders of God. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. Woo! Remember? Exclamation point. Pentecost possibility. What the Holy Spirit is doing in someone else draws you closer. The Holy Spirit hasn't done anything in these guys' life yet other than work in someone else's life, so that they are attracted to that someone else. Say, what is going on? The Holy Spirit's inviting them close through the work of the Holy Spirit in someone else's life. Is it okay if He does that to you? Works so mightily in your life that someone else comes close and say, what is going on? Because I am certain that the Holy Spirit wants to do that in our lives. He wants to do such a work in your life, in such a grace, faith, power, love, whatever that is, all that gifting, all that in our life, so that others can be drawn to God. And we've got to let them come close. And these people came close because they were drawn by God through what God was doing in their life, in the lives of someone else. And then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice. Peter's first preaching message happened on this Sunday as well. So I'm in pretty good company. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk. Fact of 12, they said, yeah, these people are drunk. I got to back up to 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, these guys are drunk. You ever notice that when the Spirit of God moves in someone else's life, someone else tries to pull them off the ladder? Will you stop that? Will I stop that? Because a Pentecost possibility is this, push the button, is this. The Holy Spirit does in you, what the Holy Spirit does in you may disturb or even scare someone else. And they're going to try to get you off the ladder. If the Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire come up on you today and he does a whole new work in your life and he transforms you and he fills you with power and a kingdom cleansing, I'm telling you, people are going to take notice and some people aren't going to be okay with that. And they say, he's drunk. He's whacked out. There's something wrong with him. Oh, that'll fade away. Tony, right? That'll fade away. Don't worry. Oh, don't worry about him. That'll subside. That'll fade away. Shame on us for wanting it to fade away. And then they say this in the next passage. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning, which I think that's great evidence. They haven't had time to drink enough to get drunk at 9 a.m. I just find it very interesting that that's his support for them not being drunk. But then look at he says, no. This is what was told by the prophet Joel. Remember in Sunday school? Remember when we talked about Joel? You remember when you went to the temple and they read from the law? And then someone got up and they read from the prophets? Do you remember the synagogue moment when they read from the prophet of Joel? You remember that? They often did that, Peter. I'm sure he said they often did that. Because when they would go into the synagogue, they would read from the law, and then they would read from the prophets. Do you remember when they read from the prophet Joel? And he said this, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, fire and blood and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be rescued from the power and the penalty of sin or saved. Peter said, we haven't had too much beer to drink. The Spirit has fallen on us. And God told us it was going to happen. Peter is saying at this moment, the gates have just opened. The Spirit has been released. And what you're going to see, this, I think he's saying, this is just the tip of the iceberg of what you're going to see the Spirit do when he settles on men. Today marks the beginning, he says. This is the beginning of what you will see. And then look what he says in 22. Just let me read some of this. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man credited by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep his grip on the giver of life. David, remember when we read David in Sunday school? David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he was at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, and my body also will live in hope, because you have not abandoned me to the grave, nor have you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You have filled me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb's right over there. He's not talking about himself. Is there on this day, but he was a prophet that knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and was poured out on what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. What he's talking about, they say, David's not talking about himself. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And it happened. And God now is pouring out his Spirit. We're not drunk. We're not drunk. Oh, we may sound different. But look at the prophet Joel said. Look what David said. I'm telling you, all that is happening at this very moment, he said. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Do you ever really mess up in life? That's what they're feeling right now. You know what a Pentecost possibility may be this morning? Is this. You realize that Jesus is Lord and Christ and you're not with him this morning. Maybe the Spirit of God right now is in your heart. And he said, I want to pour something new on you. I want to breathe fire into you. I want to cleanse you. But maybe this morning you're one of the crowd and saying, this, I am cut to the heart this morning. I have pushed Jesus to the side. Just so you know, the Spirit came to draw people to the Father through Jesus Christ. And at this moment, he's drawing this whole crowd of people right into his very presence. And say, I got something for you today. Oh, right now, it's not a touch of power from the Holy Spirit. Not a new gifting. It's salvation. Can I give it to you? What shall we do? Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Woo. "For the promises for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." So let me finish with just a couple more Pentecost possibilities. Here's one. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You repent and Jesus forgives you, and you begin a relationship with him. That's not going to be your everyday normal Pentecost. You've realized, I've been pushing Jesus to the outsides. Oh, I might look pretty good. Oh, I'm here to celebrate the Feast of Weeks. Oh, here I brought my barley offering, my wheat offering. I brought my offering. I come here. I put clean underwear on this morning. You know, I'm all set. But yet, all of a sudden, you're feeling in your heart, I'm cut to my heart. I don't know as I have Jesus. I don't know if I have a relationship with him this morning. You know what the good part of that is? God's in the business of forgiving you on Pentecost Sunday. So is it okay that he just tell him at this very moment, "I'm done pushing you to the side, Jesus. Come in and forgive me and make me new." That's a Pentecost you'll remember. Or maybe this, a Pentecost possibility, you get a renewed heart for the lost and you embrace the gospel and you run to the world with it. Where's the gospel in your life? Do you have it? Do you have that relationship? Okay, is the gospel in your hands? Is it okay if the Spirit gives you a heart for the lost and you pick up the gospel and you run it to wherever he calls you to run it to? The Pentecost possibilities today. The breath fills this room. Arlene prayed for us this week. It was her assignment to pray for New Life's gathering this week, and she called me on Wednesday, and she called me on Thursday, and we had great conversation. I told her, I said to Arlene, "I'm going to quote you on Sunday," and I'm doing that right now. "This Pentecost moment will produce lifelong effects." I couldn't have said it any better. I totally plagiarized Arlene in that statement. What God's going to do here, what he has the abilities to do, he is able. Are you willing? And it's going to produce lifelong effects. So is it okay if he fills this room with the breath and not just air? How about your vehicle on the way home? Don't worry. God can fill you with the Spirit of God and transform you while you're driving. What happens if he wants to baptize you with power and a kingdom cleansing today? What happens if he wants to give you a whole new thing today? What happens to the possibility that what the Holy Spirit is doing in you is drawing someone else close to God? What happens if what the Spirit is doing in you is disturbing or scaring people? What happens if you realize that Jesus is the Lord and Christ and I don't know him? What happens if you repent and Jesus forgives you, and you begin a relationship with Him. What happens if He fills your heart so full for the lost of this world that you're going to pick up the gospel and you're going to run into the world with it? Is it okay if He does those things on this Pentecost? Just like He did on the Pentecost in 35 or 36 AD. Breath, come. Come from the four winds. Breathe into these people. Breathe into these slain. Breathe into these men. Breathe into these ladies. Breathe into these families. Breathe into these marriages. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe into us. Spirit of the living God. Would you stand with me today? Father, I thank You for these moments. Father, we wait. And maybe not all of us are waiting. Maybe already You've done. And I think You have. You've touched with the fire. You've touched with the Spirit. You've touched with salvation this morning. You've touched with a heart for the lost. Father, may this Pentecost Sunday, the moments of this Pentecost Sunday, they will have lifelong effects. Father, here we are, a church ready to be released into the world on this very day. Father, help us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. You are welcome here. Breathe on us, God. Breathe on us, God. Breathe on us. Breathe into these. Breathe into us. Father, I thank you. I thank you for that possibility of what could happen on this Pentecost. Father, help us not to push it aside. Help us to receive everything you want to give us. In Jesus' name, amen.